Lifeline holds.
The Lifeline holds. This is the fifth and concluding broadcast in a special series of features presented in cooperation with the Royal Canadian Navy. Tonight, in a panoramic dramatization of naval activity, we bring you highlights of the four preceding broadcasts. We asked you to think of what the Navy is contributing to our cause. Our Navy, the mushroom growth Navy of small ships, fighting today one-third of the Atlantic battle. We ask you, too, to remember that the Navy relies upon you, the civilians, for the backing it must have if we are to win.
These are days for the martial air and the swift humming of the wheels and the turning of the lathe, the chatter of the rivet and the hammer's beat and the sound of the marching feet. These are days when the sleeper must wake if he wishes to live, and every man take his all to give some extra weight to blows that must be struck, or else we die, you and I. Here we stand on our ancient shore, fighting, taking it as we must, living for freedom or falling to dust, as we have done 100 times before. Do you hear the drum, the trumpet call? We speak to our friends, the friends of freedom. Who fights? Who lives? Who works?
They're loading a ship down there. You can hear the sound of the winches as the cargo goes into the hold. You'd be surprised at how much she can take, all told. She's a 10,000-tonner. Nearly 3,000 tons of steel it took to make her hull. She was built in Canada, by the way. She's a little over 400 feet long and nearly 60 feet wide. She can get an awful lot of stuff inside.
Enough flour, cheese, bacon, ham, canned and dried foods to feed 225,000 people for a week.
Steel and other war metals in slabs and bars amounting to 2,150 tons.
Enough universal carriers, trucks and motorcycles to equip a full infantry battalion.
1,900 tons of bombs, enough to load 950 medium bombers for attacks on German soil.
Enough lumber, plywood, wallboard, nails to build 90 four-roomed workers' cottages.
Two complete bombers.
Enough aluminum to build 640 fighters.
Quite a load, isn't it? You see what it means when a ship goes to sea. You see what it means when a ship goes down. It's the Navy's job to protect all that. Quite a job, isn't it? The Navy's very careful how it does that job. The ships are brought together to some port chosen for the business long before, and the convoy is assembled, each ship boarded by the Navy and inspected ere it sails into the war. No chances taken here. A skillful job of marshalling this. And then, before the sailing day, the captains come ashore for conference.
British merchant.
Yes, here.
Thank you, gentlemen. That's your sailing orders, gentlemen. You may care to look them over for a moment. The Commodore will be here in a minute. In the meantime, it'll save time if you read through your orders.
It's quite a thing to see that, a convoy conference. It's here that the Navy talks. Here, gathered in a small, single room, are the men who are going to get those things to where they're wanted at the time they're needed. It's an international gathering, too, a United Nations gathering. British captains sitting alongside captains from Norway and Denmark, from America, Canada, Greece, and Russia. There'll be a Frenchman there, still fighting for the land that fell on that long past June day. Sturdy men and grizzled men, smiling men and stern. They are taking the goods you made, the food you grew upon your farm, the shells, the guns, the tanks, the planes, the tools which must arrive if the job is ever to be finished. And When the time comes, the Navy talks.
There are only the usual things, gentlemen. Don't make more smoke than you can help, and don't show lights. The strength of the Canadian escort doesn't entitle us to take risks, you know. It isn't all up to the Navy. It's up to us as well. Watch my signals, and... Oh, yes, there is one other thing. I'd like to quote a word spoken to me some time ago by the captain of an escort vessel. A corvette, I think it was. He was speaking about attack by aircraft and how necessary it is to be very much on the alert. What he said was this. During attack by aircraft, there are only two sorts of sailor. The quick and the dead.
And so, with a laugh on their lips, go the captains of the ships to the battle and the gales and the dozen dangers of the sea. Slowly the convoy forms up into the long lanes of ships. Busily the gray-painted fighting vessels, incredibly small by comparison with the ships in their charge, shepherd the stragglers and finally settle down to station. The days pass and the night watches come, and the young men, sleepless on the bridge, take it as all in the day's work, the risks of the U-boats, the gales, and the fog. How they hate fog.
Oh, gosh, here comes the fog. Now we're going to have some fun.
Starboard 20.
Starboard 20, sir.
When it comes down thick like this, it's always a good thing to get away from the convoy a bit. They usually open out to get clear of each other.
Sound like a lot of old cows, don't they?
420 on, sir.
Thanks. Midships.
Midships. Helms amidships, sir.
All right. Steady as she goes.
Steady as she goes, sir.
It comes on so suddenly.
Oh, it's often like that around here. Two trips ago, we never saw the convoy for 2 days. It was thick all the time. Hey, go down and call the captain, will you?
Aye, aye, sir.
Gosh, the old man's going to curse at this. Can anybody see the convoy?
It's pretty thick, sir.
I'm afraid this is going to be tough. Can you see anything, sir?
That's thick as pea soup. Can't see a damn thing.
Hello, what's the trouble, Tubby?
Fog, sir. I thought you'd like to be called.
Yes, good. What's your course?
210. We're taking a swing out from the convoy right now. Came down pretty suddenly.
I see. Well, we better ease down and go right back onto the course, I think. How long have you been swinging out?
A couple of minutes.
Okay. Port 10.
Port 10, sir. 10 of port on, sir.
Right. Steer south 30 west.
South 30 west, sir.
Engine room.
Engine room.
Ease down to 100 revs, please.
Ease to 100, sir.
Thank you. That's damn thick, isn't it? What ship was that hooting?
Number 4. The ship we're keeping station on, I think.
Oh, we're not far out then, I guess. What's the watch been like, Tubby?
Very quiet. There was a weird flash out on the horizon about an hour ago. Arthur's reported it in his watch when I took over.
You ought to have called me.
I got the HSD up to strengthen the Aztec watch, but nothing came of it. We must be well past it now, whatever it was.
Signal just come in, sir.
Thanks. What was the flash like?
Very brief. It wasn't star shell. It might have been a rocket, perhaps. About 15 miles away.
No fog then, eh?
No, it was very clear.
South, 30 west on, sir.
Thanks. Well, there are U-boats about. Two reported not very far ahead of us right on the course.
I guess we're being followed then.
Maybe. They might attack around dawn somewhere if they don't lose us in the fog. Commodore will probably alter course now anyway, and that'll be a hell of a business. I'll ease her down a bit more, I think. Engine room.
Engine room.
Ease down to 80 revolutions, please.
80 rev, sir.
Thank you.
It's getting damn cold.
What's the time? Anybody know?
I'll go and see, sir. Just after 3, sir.
Thanks.
Well, another hour to go.
Unless we get action, then God knows what it'll be. You'll be off the middle watch next week, won't you, Tubby?
Yeah, thank God. I'm changing with Arthur's.
Lucky boy. Oh, there he goes. Quiet, everybody. Let's get this. He's altering course. Did you get it, Signalman?
It was very confused, sir.
You're telling me. Did you get it?
No, sir.
Anyone else?
I don't see how anyone could, sir, except the ships in the convoy. The repeater ship sure messed it up for me.
We'll have to keep contact with them somehow. Roberts.
Aye, sir.
Go down to the chart room and get the sailing orders, will you? They're on the chart table.
Aye, aye, sir.
We'll have to keep our eyes damn well skinned when he gives the word to alter. Starboard 10.
Starboard 10, sir. 10, a starboard on, sir.
Steady on 210.
Steady on 210, sir.
Hard aport.
Hard aport, sir.
Ship on the starboard bow, sir.
Engine room.
Engine room.
He's right down to slow ahead.
He's down to slow ahead,
blast
sir.
Blast all fog. Can you see him, lookout?
No, sir.
Where was he?
About 30 degrees off the bow, sir.
Oh, he's miles off his course, then. Get the loud hailer ready, sub.
Right, sir.
Helm amidships.
Amidships, sir.
Sailing order, sir.
Thanks. Flash lap, somebody.
Here you are, sir.
Let's see now. Alternative courses.
Helms amidships, sir.
Right. Now then, diversion A to be used in case of emergency. Oh, God, there he goes.
Executive, sir.
Keep your eyes skinned, everybody. We don't want to get a bump from one of those babies.
I've often wondered what it'd be like if we got a real smack bang in the depth charges.
No, I don't intend to find out. There are only three alternative courses we might use, that's something.
Fog's clearing a bit, sir.
We're coming right out of it.
God, what luck.
There she is, sir. Number 4. I can tell by her build. She's right in our beam.
410.
410, sir.
Never saw such luck in all my life.
Yeah, they're steering 170. That's it. Alternative course B.
10 of port on, sir.
Steady on 170.
Steady on 170, sir.
Gosh, it's a marvelous night. Or will be in a minute.
Yes, we'll be out of the fog in no time now. Engine room.
Engine room.
Work her up to 100 revolutions, please.
Up to 100 revs, sir.
And now it'll be all nice and bright for the U-boats, if they can find us. I must say I prefer them to fog.
Well, you can't sink fog, can you?
No. Well, I think I'll leave her to you now, Tubby. The watch must be nearly through now anyway. McWilliams will be up in a minute. Thanks for calling me.
Sorry I have to, sir.
Funny business, the fog around here. You get a thick bank like that, and then suddenly you're all clear. Well, cheerio.
Cheerio. Hope you get some sleep.
Oh, by the way, don't forget the U-boats. Better keep up a pretty steady zigzag.
Aye, aye, sir.
410.
410, sir. 10 of port on, sir.
Looks to me like a pretty lucky watch, sir, really. Fog wasn't very nice, was it?
Oh, you'll get used to it, sub. 2 years of this and you'll think nothing of it. Good out of call the relief, Roberts.
Aye, aye, sir.
That's my big complaint about the middle watch. So damn boring. Nothing ever happens.
And there are times when the call to action stations comes. When every man stands at his appointed place, waiting. Then somebody cracks a joke and the tension breaks.
Say, if it's a Bismarck we're going to fight, why don't they give us...
And then you just go on waiting. Waiting and waiting for something to happen. The first scramble's over. The officers begin to look around and check up on things. But it's all right. Everything's ready. There just doesn't seem to be anything to do. Eyes strain to try and pierce the blackness. And somewhere in a cabin with mysterious-looking equipment in it, ears are straining too.
No, nothing yet. Not a darn thing.
Maybe it's a false alarm, sir.
Yeah, false alarm. I've been told that those have been the last words spoken by a whale of a lot of people in this war. We're going to treat this thing as real. Still not a sound.
And so it goes. It's only minutes, you know, but it seems like hours. And then the minutes begin to stretch and turn into hours. And you go through every phase of this darn suspense business. Laughter, silence, vigilance, and the tiredness of the eyes. And then you begin to think, supposing something happened now, and automatically your muscles become tense, and unconsciously you begin to make the very exact movement that you've been trained for, reaching out to alter the setting of the depth charge, leaning downward to pick up a shell. But it isn't now. Nothing has happened. So you relax again and go on waiting. And then, always when you least expect it...
Contact!
Fly survive.
Submarine. Definite. We're coming up.
All right, stand by depth charges. Stand by to fire a pattern.
Stand by to fire a pattern.
Standing by, sir.
Five charge pattern.
Five charges, sir. A for apples.
A for apples, sir.
B for beer.
B for beer, sir.
C for Charlie.
C for Charlie, sir. Ready, sir.
Coming up, sir. Coming up. Right over.
Fire and ready.
First and throwers, fire. Center charge, fire. Last charge, fire.
Well, if there was anything there, we should have got it.
How will we know, sir? It's so darn dark, it'd be just too bad if we did get us up and didn't know it.
The other ship's going in to see what's up. We'll keep going right ahead for a little. You never can tell.
Submarine! Dead astern, sir! Just breaking surface! Submarine! Dead astern!
Hard to port! Put your helm over, Cox! We don't want to fish in the stern ourselves.
Hard to port, sir.
Anybody see anything?
The after lookout's crazy, sir. He's just seeing things.
Stand by the searchlight there. Any contact, Subby?
No, sir, not a sound.
Holy Mike, look at that. It is a submarine. The other corvette switched the searchlight on it, sir. Look! We've got it! Hey!
Who are these men? Who in the small ships, braving the guns, torpedoes, and the gale, has learnt to sail in the stout protecting squadron, placed to meet with luck the opening shot and answer it? Who, hearing the drum, knowing the fact that on the sea must be played the bitterest and the longest act, has accepted as his lot the sailor's part? You used to know him. You called him Joe, or John, or Tom, or Art. You used to walk towards him, one of a slow shuffling rank. He was behind a wicket, paying and receiving money, the teller in your bank. You handed him a neatly written slip. He'd count the money, give a friendly nod, and pass it on. Well, he's now the captain of a ship. His crew, where do they come from? From Vancouver, Lunenburg, Regina, and the Sioux. From Quebec and Joliet, Toronto, Ville-Marie, Montreal and Winnipeg, from Trail and Napanee. And there's one, you know him. Do you remember that tall, fair lad who ran the tractor on the farm, two concessions down, around the bend? He used in joke to call you Dad. You always thought of him as friend, drove past him often in the auto, waved your hand and shouted, Hi! And floating on the autumn breeze, there came his answering cry. Well, tonight, this night, he's in the crow's nest. He's a lookout, and the wind is cold. Do you remember how of old he used to shade his eyes and scan the open spaces of the farm? He's scanning other spaces now. Doing his bit to shield from harm the million-dollar cargoes in a convoy out at sea. Cargoes bought and paid for, built and worked for by folks like you and me. These are the men who heard the drum, Drake's drum, if you will, The men who, at the falling of the nations, the dying of the failing Frenchman's fleet, recognized the beach and knew it as the call to action stations. The men who, learning their seamanship on land, the making of hitches and bends, the running bowline and bowline on the bight, the neat Turk's heads at the rope's ends, the talking of flags, the crisp crackle of the wireless, the steering of ships, the loading and firing of the gun, the handling of the depth charge, the ways of the warring Hun. Then went down to the great waters, to the cold and boredom, the laughter and the fight. Grocers' clerks they are, and brokers, turned quartermasters, signalmen, and stokers. Salesmen, swift of tongue and glib, with a new cut now to their jib. Yachtsmen and farmers, garage hands and tailors, men from factories and offices and stores, now turned to sailors. And tonight, this night and every night, tomorrow, next day and every day, they see to it that the ships pass on, that the convoys, battered sometimes, fighting for their passage if they must, make the landfall, carry out the trust of those who bought and made the tools of war for use, please God, upon some other shore. These are the men who, rising by some miracle, springing from the very earth, have proved their worth upon the seas, have answered torpedo with depth charge, gun with gun, knowing well that after all is said and after all is done, when the airman knows his plane and the plane is made, when the tank is built and tested and makes the grade, when the shells are ready and the bombs filled and the steel milled, and the soldier, steady in his purpose, knows his trade, it must be today as it was of old. No hope, no life, no end to the strife, no victory, unless the lifeline hold.
This has been the concluding program in a special series of feature broadcasts presented in cooperation with the Royal Canadian Navy. These programs carry the official endorsement of Naval Service Headquarters and were written by Lieutenant Commander William Strange. The series was directed by James Finley. Special attention is drawn to the new United Services program, Comrades in Arms. This is a great new series which will be presented in cooperation with the three fighting services as a combined operation. The first of these programs will be heard next Friday evening at 10:15. That is, Friday next, 10:15, Eastern Daylight Time.
This is the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.